Have you ever wondered why prayer is so hard? Why your mind wanders? Why when you absolutely commit to do what God wants you to do, it feels like everything falls apart? Well, we're going to answer that question today on Living on the Edge. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip serves as our Bible teacher on this daily international discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy, and today we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. We've spent the past few days talking about the practice of prayer. So if you've missed any of those messages, you can hear them online anytime when you go to livingontheedge.org. Just click the Broadcasts tab. Well, Chip's team teaching with his son Ryan, who's a pastor in the Bay Area. So now with part two of his message, Cultivating a Life of Faith, here's our guest teacher, Ryan Ingram.
Surrender is an awareness that things aren't as they should be. It's a longing for heaven to crash into earth. And by the way, God does this one person at a time. And when you begin to pray it, your kingdom come, your will be done in me, as it is in heaven. Well, how do we do this? Would you invite the King to take his rightful place in your life? One of the ways that I do this, I have a practice. I learned this from some mentors of mine. And I have a surrender prayer. And now you just need to know, as I share these things, sometimes you think, this is what Ryan does every day, all day long. No. In fact, this I do probably once or twice a week. I used to have it more of a habit. But I take that Romans 12:1 passage seriously. And I actually get on my knees because I think our posture is really important and it helps me understand and humble my heart before God. And then I actually pray through every area of my body. So I start with my mind. I say, God, this morning, is there anything in me like that isn't of you? I give you my thoughts. May I have the mind of Christ. May my mind be set on things above, not on earthly things. Now I go to my eyes and I go, God, would you give me your vision? May I see others the way you see them. I go to my mouth. God, may I speak your words today filled with grace and truth. May I bring life and not death. I go to my ears. God, I want to hear your voice louder than any other voice. Would you guard me from the lies of the enemy that seep in to try to conform my identity to something's not true? I want to know you. God, then I go to my heart. God, would you make me a man after your own heart? Would you allow my heart to beat for the things of your heart? Would you break my heart for what breaks yours? I go to my hands. God, would you strengthen my hands? Like the psalmist says, establish the work of our hands. God, would you establish it? Would you give me exactly what I need? And then I move to my feet. It's just a prayer of surrender, of going, God, okay, today I need you and my whole body is yours. You may want to physically kneel or raise your hand. Have you ever wondered why people raise their hand in church? Like, why do so many people have questions during worship? That is so odd. This person's like really excited, got big questions. They're holding two hands up. We raise our hands in worship the same way a small child reaches for their dad or mom. It's this cry, Daddy, help. I want you, I need you, and I'm just reaching out. And it's just a posture to remind ourselves of our need before God. First area, aligning our hearts, developing intimacies, the area of worship. The second area is the area of surrender. And by the way, I do believe this issue of surrender is a major reason why many followers of Jesus don't experience his presence and power in their lives, because you've never really surrendered and said, your will be done. The third area is this area of request. He goes on to say, give us today our daily bread. Now think about this. This is amazing. Amazing that the God of the universe says, come to me with what you need. I want to hear it. In fact, Jesus talks about this a number of times. And he says, ask, seek, knock. I think it's unbelievable that God doesn't just want us to talk about him and just all these sort of things. He says, you know what? After you begin to look up and see me and you surrender, by the way, your request will look differently after that. But would you bring to me the concerns of your day? Would you bring to me the stuff that you're going through that's hard? Give us today. Like, what are you going through today? Not next week. Our daily bread, what you need, the things on the issues of your heart. Well, what is a request? Request is asking God to give you what you need to make it through today. Well, you wake up. You just go, God, it's been a hard day. Like, it's only been 30 minutes. Yeah, but I'm scared to death of the day. Like, I don't know what to do with our kids. I don't know how this relationship's going to work out. I don't, like, this business or my job's falling apart. And you just bring to him the concerns and the needs of your day. The act of asking is a declaration of dependence on God. We often don't ask because we're more independent or self-dependent than God-dependent. When you ask God, you go, God, I need you. He says, I'm going to show up in that moment. And it's a declaration of dependency. Now, I want you to remember this. How did we start this prayer? Our Father. You don't approach the throne groveling, hoping, or wishing. We don't ask requests like, oh, God, maybe somehow. You show up to the throne room with bold confidence to say, hey, Daddy. In fact, a little bit later in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus would say it this way. If you being earthly dads, you know, or sinful dads, know how to give good gifts to your kids, then he says this line. This is so good. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who are called by his name? You don't approach the God who is holding out. You approach the God of the how much more. And so when you come bringing your request, that's why we got to begin with worship, because we realign our heart to who we're talking to, your perfect heavenly Father. And you're going, man, I have the God of how much more. So you pray differently. You pray with confidence. You pray with expectation. You look forward and go, God, you as a good father want to give me good gifts, and you want to orchestrate my day for the best, for your glory and my good, and so I'm coming with boldness. So how do you do that? Bring to God the needs and concerns of today. Is it spiritually? Maybe you've been in a dry season. Maybe it's been a dark night of the soul. Maybe it's emotionally. Like, there's just wounds and pains and things that you've been carrying on. Maybe it's physically. There's some physical ailments that you've been struggling through, or sicknesses, relationally, vocationally, financially, and where you just would begin to bring the needs of the day. It says these five areas that align our heart with God's heart, that develop intimacy, worship, surrender, request. And then he moves on to confession. Confession. Jesus says this. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Far too many people are walking around with guilt and shame that Jesus has already paid for on the cross. There is no room, or should be no place, for a defeated follower of Jesus, because he said it is finished on the cross. But because we do not practice confession really relationally very well, we don't know how to do it with our Heavenly Father either. This is why I believe Jesus unpacks it a little bit further. And you'll see in verse 15, he says this. It's the only one that he dives in a little bit deeper. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. And you're like, wow, that's intense. That's heavy. And actually, there's two different parables. I wish we had time to dive into it to unpack this. Here's what Jesus is saying. Your inability to forgive others is directly connected to your understanding of God's forgiveness of you. See, when I understand that I step in, worship, high, holy God, and that I am a broken, sinful human, like the reality is, man, I deserve death, not life. Definitely not grace. And you have the object, the focused attention of the Father, and he says, I forgive you, I love you, I adopt you. You are fully forgiven, completely redeemed, bought back. Like everything you've ever done, both past, present, and future, forgiven, done, on the cross. And he says, if you don't understand that way, you won't forgive others because you've never really experienced his forgiveness. And he's saying, when you recognize how much you've been forgiven, forgiving people who've wounded you, that's the little stuff. And you're like, man, I've been forgiven much, so I can forgive much. Confession. What is it? It means to agree with God about your sins. It is to say to God, you're right. Or even better, that's right. Like, I agree with you. Like, the way you said it and what you call right and wrong, I agree. And here's what we do. We, instead of agreeing with God, argue with God. We tell God this. We say, well, it's not that big of a deal. We say, it's not hurting anyone. Well, that's kind of old-fashioned. Everyone else does it. And confession is to go to God and say, no, your way and your will and my life wasn't in alignment with it, and so God, I confess it to you. Now notice, I want you to think about this and remember this. When you put your faith in Christ, you step in from an old life to a new life. You step from a slave to a son or a daughter. You are adopted into the family of God, and you will not be kicked out of the family of God. And so we're not talking about confession and forgiveness like somehow your eternity is hanging in the balance. We're talking about intimacy. See, the minute you're apart and you're my kid, you're always my kid, but there's things you can do that can break our relationship, can't it? It does not change your standing in the family. It does change our relational connection. And when we say and we confess, we are wanting to restore intimacy with our Father. Well, how do you do that? Ask the Spirit of God to show any area of unconfessed sin. Holy Spirit, would you show me any area in my life that is unconfessed? Then respond by specifically owning what he reveals and asking for forgiveness. I want to spend a little bit of time and help us understand that. But first, let's talk about this. The Spirit of God, when you ask, will bring conviction into your life, not condemnation. Conviction is specific, and it is to lead you to God. Condemnation is vague and to push you away from God. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. And what he's saying is the Spirit of God will bring up an issue in your life. The way you spoke to your wife, that was harsh and mean, and you need to ask for forgiveness. The way you responded to your kids, that habit of what you keep putting into your mind on your phone or late at night, and it will be specific, and it is to bring about repentance to move you to God. Condemnation is vague. You're a screw up. You're a failure. You're a bad person. You suck. And condemnation is like, I couldn't come to God with that. I wouldn't show up to God. And it pulls us away from him. The Spirit of God will be so gentle, but specific and convicting. And how do we confess? When the Spirit of God brings that up, you say, okay, I'm going to be specific. Heavenly Father, would you forgive me for the way that I talk to my wife? Now, often when we confess to God, we have to confess to others as well. And so we're specific, and then you own your junk. By the way, when you're owning your junk, you're not telling people, you know, telling God how they made you do it. If they didn't do this, I wouldn't have reacted in anger. That is not owning your junk. I reacted in anger. I'm responsible for my emotional response and my words. I'm sorry, God. Would you please forgive me? And then close the loop. We missed this. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for forgiving me. 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our sins, if we agree with God, He is faithful. The forgiveness of your sins does not depend on the faithfulness of you, but upon the faithfulness of God. He is faithful and just. It's based on His character and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Meaning, in this moment today, you can walk out of here lighter, freer. And when the condemnation begins to come up, you begin to go, no, 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 I've been forgiven. That's not from God. I am free. I am forgiven. Five areas that develop intimacy with God. Worship, surrender, requests, confession. And then He ends with protection. Have you ever noticed that as you try to get closer to God, everything around you seems to fall apart? It is not a coincidence. This is the reason Jesus ends with protection. He says this, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Jesus is saying, pray a prayer saying, God, would you protect me from me? I have a natural bent away from you. I have areas of my sin that are these habitual things, these grooves that I naturally go into. Would you protect me from me? And then I recognize there is a spiritual foe, an enemy that was seeking to destroy me. Would you protect me from him? So how do we do this? Pray for spiritual protection and discernment to identify the attacks of the enemy. Protection is all about preserving intimacy with God. The last part, and I didn't tell you, when I pray for my feet, I pray this prayer often. Say, Father, would you help me to walk in step with you? Galatians talks about keeping in step with the Spirit of God. Like I want, like as I step through the day, and I just think about this very literally, like as I step, like those are, I'm stepping in the steps that you're going. I want to be in rhythm. I want to be in step with you. But then God, would you lead me? Would you keep my feet from temptation? Would you protect our home from the evil one? 1 Peter 5:8 talks about be alert, be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You know when lions attack, right? When their prey is at their weakest or unaware. I have even rhythms in my own life. I know that after Sundays of giving out spiritually, I know that I'm going to have some opposition coming. I know Saturday. Monday can be a Monday blue. Pay attention to those. Going, okay, the enemy, man, he wants to discourage you. Did you have a wave of discouragement come in? Did you pay attention? Did you just think, man, that's just me? Or could it be that as you're taking steps closer to God, your spiritual foe is wanting to discourage you? You just wonder, oh, we're doing great in our marriage, and all of a sudden we're fighting all the time. What's that about? Pray for spiritual protection and the sermon to identify the attacks of the enemy. Prayer is the pathway to intimacy with God. Relational intimacy takes intentionality. These are the themes that help begin to develop this in our lives. Worship, surrender, requests, confession, protection.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. If you're just joining us, Chip and his son Ryan will be back in a minute to talk more about this sacred rhythm of prayer. Ryan's message, Cultivating a Life of Faith, is from our series, Sacred Rhythms. If the pressures of life are taking their toll, what you'll learn in Sacred Rhythms provides the wise counsel you may be missing. In Sacred Rhythms, you'll discover how to develop a few of the key spiritual practices that can release the floodgates of relationship with God. To order your copy of Sacred Rhythms or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. You'll find that the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Or if you prefer to order over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, you very candidly say that prayer is one of the hardest rhythms for you to maintain. Why do you think that is?
You're right, Dave. In fact, I used to feel very guilty that I so struggle with my prayer life, that my mind would wander or, you know, just the sheer willpower and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've realized, it's a lot more complicated than saying to yourself, okay, I'm really going to pray. There is an enemy at work. When you begin to pray, you're involved in spiritual warfare. I love Ian Bounds, who said, you know, something to the effect of, Satan is concerned when people read the Bible, but he trembles when they pray. And what I learned is a lot of people are frustrated in their prayers, and part of it is they can say words, but what they don't know is how to experience God in prayer. You know, it can become a, how do I not feel guilty, or do I just go through this whole list? And so we've developed a video online course that's pretty short, it's very simple. And what I want to share with you is what God's taught me from his word, not how to say words, not how to be rote, but how to actually experience God in prayer. If there's any gift I could give to anyone that'll have an impact in your heart and then your family and your relationships, it's experiencing God when you pray. I mean, that's the heart of God anyway, and we want to help you learn and grow, not just to become regular in your prayers, but to walk away from a time of prayer and say in your heart of hearts, I just met with God, and better, he just met with me. Dave, why don't you give them all the information about how to get this free video online course?
Sure will. Chip's online course on prayer is a great resource, no matter where you are in your prayer life. If you'd like to learn more about how to cultivate a daily connection with God, you can do these 5 video sessions with Chip at your own pace, by yourself, or with a few friends. To sign up for How to Experience God in Prayer, just go online to livingontheedge.org and take your next step toward experiencing God through prayer. Now let's get back to Chip and Ryan for today's application.
As we close today's program, Ryan, you shared a couple things that I think people really need to hear. You talked about, you know, when you take steps, when you really pray, or you say, this is an area I'm going to work on in my marriage, or literally make spiritual progress, there's a foe, there's an enemy. And I think we don't realize how real that is. Talk to us a little bit about how we can prepare ourselves or what we need to understand as we seek to make these sacred rhythms a new part of our life.
Yeah, we have an old foe and he doesn't have new tactics. And so we have to understand the enemy's tactics so we're aware of them when they hit us. A discouraged believer is a defeated believer. Satan knows that, and so he wants to discourage you, derailing us, sin in our life. He wants to tempt and get you off course, and that habitual sin in your life is going to flare up in such big ways when we begin to make progress towards Jesus. I think the last one, and there's other ones, but is the area of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you're praying and you, like you were saying, your thoughts go everywhere. When we're aware of it, we can actually pray the prayer Jesus prayed. And this is a daily prayer for me.
Mm-hmm.
God, lead me not into temptation.
Right.
Lead me, God, my steps. Would you guard and protect my mind? Would you guard and protect my family from the evil one?
You know, the fact of the matter is sometimes we think that maybe these distractions or temptations only happen to young Christians. But I have to tell you, this just happened to me. I literally say I think I had one of the 10 worst days of my life. You know, I think your mom thought, wow, what's with him? And I said, honey, I'm really struggling. Did spiritual warfare. I put positive music on. I prayed. Finally broke out of it. But this is a season where I've taken steps in sacred rhythms right now like never before, or at least as intensely as before. And I feel like all hell is breaking loose against me. Is that something that people need to be aware of as they take steps, maybe in their marriage or with one of their kids or even to deal with a habitual sin?
Absolutely. And I think what you hit on is one of those important practices for us.
Mm.
Ephesians 6 talks about after you've done everything to stand. So it's stand firm.
Yeah.
And so it's not just stand firm, it's after you've done everything to stand firm, then press in. Press into God in those moments. Lean into Him. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. He will allow you to stand firm, but you have to press in.
Father, I want to pray now for every person listening to our voice who's taking steps toward you and feels discouraged or maybe even depressed because it feels like they're doing all the right things and things are getting worse. Lord God, would you give them the power and the energy and the will to fight? And will you deliver them in Jesus' name? Amen.
You know, a great way to stay connected to Chip and Living on the Edge is with the Chip Ingram app. You can hear a helpful message again or share it with a friend who'd be encouraged. To download the free Chip Ingram app, just go to Google Play or the App Store. Well, I hope you'll be with us again on Monday when we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms. For Chip and everyone here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.